I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Mraz. You know maybe the best thing to come out of 2020? Me doing more work putting together the best of the DA show. Keep it locked here from the best from today.
The doors open wide enough for the Pelicans to step in and would have to go on a bit of a run here to hop skip a bunch of other Western Conference teams and grab that final seed in the postseason. The first two times that the Pelicans have played, the Pels basically didn't take any real serious ways to get Zion onto the floor. In fact, he was really kind of there as window dressing for the first two games. The precautions were overwhelming and the minutes limitations were obvious, and basically Zion barely saw the floor. So last night, with a really significant head-to-head matchup with the team that they're chasing in the standings, would we see more of Zion? Yes, we would. And would Zion perform? Yes, he would. Last night, Zion delivered a big effort in a win by the Pelicans, which leads us to our first topic of the day. Is Zion finally off that minutes limit, and will we see the real Williamson for the rest of this run in Orlando? It's where we begin. Your cold open.
Holiday sizing up Clark, drives in, kick it in the corner to Williamson. Zion drives all the way and layup good. Strong to the bucket, Z.
I'll tell you what, he looks like he's got his legs on these last couple plays.
Feeling awful fresh.
Yeah, he looks pretty spry.
It felt great to do that. You know, my competitive spirit was turned on. And, you know, I was just happy the training staff and my team trusted me to, you know, be able to close the game out. Not even gonna lie to you, it just hits different in a bad way when I'm on the bench in the fourth quarter and there's nothing I can do to help my team win. So I felt alive. It was just great to be out there doing whatever I can to help my team win.
Amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That was Pelicans Radio, and then Zion after his big effort last night. I love hearing from Zion Williamson that he wants to be in there, that it hurts him not to be in there, that he needs to be in there to feel like he's part of this team, part of this effort, part of what they've got cooking here. I love to hear that Zion's not the type of passive guy that wants to sit on the bench or finds excuses not to play. Last night, in 25 minutes of work, you had Zion Williamson doing just a little bit of everything last night. And because of that, you really get to see the type of performance he can bring you if you really take the shackles off of him. Here is Zion Williamson last night, who ends up doing a little bit of everything. He finishes with 5 assists. He grabs 7 rebounds as well and adds 23 points to it. The second highest total from his teammates, Brandon Ingram, had 24. But this is not in a full 40 minutes of action or even 35 minutes of action. This is 25. And what we saw from Zion last night was, again, this bag of tricks that he has, that even though he's so large, even though he's so physically imposing, he's so thick, he's so powerful, he's got really nifty footwork. And I think that was something that was kind of overlooked when he was at Duke for that one season. And I think when people think of Zion, it's always dunking, 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 and high-flying aerial acrobatics. That's not necessarily what makes Zion so great. That's really exciting. That's not really what makes him so effective. What makes him so effective is, even though he's so thick, even though he's so large, even though he's got such power behind him, he's really delicate with his footwork around the basket. And last night, there was a lot of kind of loose balls or tip-ins or little spacing around the basket that he had to maneuver and navigate and did with aplomb. And you had, yes, the cross-court lob to him that he can slam in last night. That's exciting. That gets people fired up. But I thought what you saw was the bulk of his stats, the bulk of his numbers come when there's a lot of traffic under the basket and he can just kind of navigate and move around them like road cones. And for a guy that's so large, you would think he'd be slow. You would think that he'd be plodding. You would think that maybe he'd be clumsy with that footwork. He's not. He's anything but. That's, to me, what makes him so special. Is that, yeah, at his size, if you get him around that rim and he's got space, he's going to absolutely throw down a monstrous dunk. And yes, you can throw the cross-court lob to him and he's going to throw it down. But in traffic, with bodies, amongst the trees down low, Zion had this impeccable ability to find the space, to find the bucket and the space. And not all of his numbers last night came from pretty plays. There's some junk plays around the basket where he gets the tip in, he grabs the rebound, he just kind of puts it up quickly, or, you know, he gets the pass from about 6 feet out and is able to take one step, jab step, get in between the defense and put it up off the glass. That's what I loved seeing from him last night. And I think if you're the Pelicans, look, there's no time like now to take the chains off of Zion and say, okay, go get him, big guy. You know, you've got to just go out there and do it. Last night was not a full-on let him play every minute. He only played 25 minutes, but he started, and it was enough to put his stamp on the game because the Pelicans end up winning this game 109-99, and this is the team that they're chasing. They've got to make up ground on the Grizzlies. Not only do they need to win games, they need the Grizzlies to lose games. So last night was critical. If they lost last night's game, it was really going to be lights out for the Pelicans trying to make the postseason. So a big win, and then they proved also when Zion plays those minutes that they can beat the Grizzlies and be better than the Grizzlies. So should they be a better option of the postseason than the Grizzlies? If you're the Pelicans now, I know you want to make sure you take care of Zion, and hypothetically you have another season to get ready for in December, and you're not going to win a title this year, so making the playoffs or not making the playoffs, you'd rather have Zion healthy for an entire season in 2021. But the Pelicans really right now should be doing this. Starting him, playing him 20-plus minutes, even 30 minutes, and trying to make this run, because there's no time left. Why even be inside the bubble to compete if you're not really trying to compete with your best players? Zion's healthy. He can play. You're just putting the bubble wrap on him. And last night they didn't, and they won the game against the team that they had to beat. I would think now this is the start of the Pelicans, yes, taking the minutes restrictions off of Zion Williamson. And if that's the case, it's going to make watching those Pelicans games a hell of a lot more interesting. Next up is Thursday against Sacramento, then Friday against the Wizards, Sunday San Antonio, Tuesday Sacramento, Thursday Orlando. You know what you have there? A lot of winnable games. A lot of games against teams that you are better than, that you can stack wins, and we might see Zion in the playoffs because they should be able to beat Sacramento twice, Orlando and Washington. And because of it, it gives them a chance to chase down the Grizzlies. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. So we'll see how this unfolds, but right now the Pelicans are 2.5 games behind Memphis for that final playoff slot of the West. The Lakers last night with their win clinched the number one seed overall. That's the type of cushion they have over the Clippers. They've got a 5-game cushion They've got a six-game cushion with five to play for them, and so the Clippers can't catch them, meaning the Lakers at 51-15 already lock up the one seed, and the Bucks are not far behind as well because they're 54-13, 5.5 above the Raptors. So seeding for the top seeds, the NBA playoffs are almost set here. Mraz, do you think that that's the limits restrictions are now off of Zion and we will see Zion play hefty minutes the rest of the way?
I certainly hope so, but if this was all it took was just a couple days into this bubble to take the minutes restrictions, I just don't understand why Alvin Gentry was doing this right off the bat versus Utah to begin with on Thursday night. It's not that much a difference. And frankly, like you just pointed out, 2.5 games back, this whole cushion. If they have Zion playing down the stretch last Thursday night, now they're probably 1.5 games back. They beat Utah, and the playoffs are more of a real-time situation. So I don't know what went off in Gentry's head to finally play Zion down the stretch to, even if he's going to limit his minutes, to try to play him in the most important minutes. But I think the damage might already be done, and they, you know, look, we hope not because we want to see Zion in the playoffs. But maybe it's a little too late despite that soft cushion. I just don't understand why an athlete like Zion coming off that quarantine would need all these extra minutes restrictions, as you pointed out, worrying about next year. Fine. But to me, I think the Pelicans already dropped the ball these first two games before coming last night. It just kind of felt like a little too late for me.
It's a no-lose situation for NBA fans because if Zion and the Pelicans don't clinch the 8 seed, Ja and the Grizzlies do, and Ja is an amazing player in his own right to watch. So that would be a lot of fun as he would take on the Lakers and LeBron anyway. I think their big deal was because of the weight of Zion Williamson right from the start of his rookie season, they were concerned that because of the weight that he carries, that he's not in NBA shape, he hasn't been with an NBA training regimen and team and equipment manager for a full year, calendar year, and that he's under their watch, they were scared from day one. That's why they didn't really want Zion playing early in the preseason. That's why we saw him shut down for so long. Remember, I mean, Zion, he was slightly injured, then kind of sat out for huge stretches at the beginning of the season. The Pelicans took on water. They lost a ton of games. So I think they're just super careful because coming out of quarantine, I think they were really worried that he was not in NBA shape and that he had put on weight again. And I think they're always going to be super, super scared that Zion carries more weight than his frame could handle, especially considering he plays above the rim so much.
Yeah, but isn't that an enormous cause for concern when you use the first overall pick and this is supposed to be the next face of the NBA, that you can't even trust this guy when he was in your system and in your facilities for 5 months and then we get in quarantine and he's treating it the way I would, where you're just eating cheese noodles on the couch? I mean, to me, Zion, if he didn't come back in the shape the Pelicans thought he would be in, I know he's young and I know there's plenty of room to still be in that weight room and facility. I think this is still going to be a cause for concern, maybe his entire career. So I'm just a little more cautious when it comes to the Zion hype train if this is how the Pelicans feel and the way he treated being away from the facility after his first year.
Yeah, but I don't think that that's fair at all. I mean, because Zion Williamson is a total freak of nature. He's 19 years old, so who knows what his body's going to turn into. He has never been in an NBA regimen. He's never been with an NBA workout plan. And then they didn't have him until they drafted him in June. And then the season started in October. And then they didn't have him under their watch for 4 months during quarantine. I mean, am I going to sit here and already peg Zion as lazy or slovenly or overweight? I mean, that's kind of what it sounds like you're doing.
But that's the way the Pelicans are doing
kid.
But that's the way it feels like the Pelicans are showing us. If they don't trust him to come back in shape and they didn't feel he came back in enough shape that they had to put him on a minutes restriction, how am I supposed to interpret that?
Well, wait a second.
I'm supposed to interpret that maybe because he didn't take it seriously.
Because they wanted to protect their investment. The Pelicans are at blame here, or you're blaming Zion?
I think both are at blame. I think if Zion didn't develop good habits... Because you're telling me that he hasn't been in a full weight room, full NBA protocol for a full year like that. My point is, shouldn't he have developed some really good habits and taken it seriously as the first overall pick that we're not worried when we come out of quarantine when John Morant's got no minutes restrictions?
So that's blaming Zion. That's not blaming the Pelicans.
Right, but I would think, though, the Pelicans at least would have instituted... Yes, okay, I'm blaming Zion, but I would assume the Pelicans did a good enough job to do that. Maybe they didn't. Maybe the Pelicans didn't do a good enough job in installing these things for Zion Williamson to be in place. And I know that they're different players, obviously, and different body types and the weight and everything you're talking about. But Ja Morant had a ton of hype, too, coming out of Memphis, and they're not worried about taking the ripcord off him and letting him play. And I understand that the weight's a big difference.
His body type is completely different. He's a point guard.
But do you think if this was Shaq years ago that Orlando would have a minutes restrictions right now? Or you think they'd be letting him fly trying to make the playoffs in a bubble?
Well, Shaq also came into the league long and lean. I mean, he was not overweight when he came out of LSU. If you go back and you look at his rookie season, Shaq probably weighs 75 pounds less than his heaviest weight.
Okay, all right. If that's all fair and fine, then tell me how many years you think it's going to take Zion Williamson, and now that he's 19, to get the protocol. We don't have to worry about this. Because you think anything's going to change between now and December?
Well, I think that number one, I can't believe that you're going to lead today ripping Zion Williamson. Most bizarre thing. Number one, like, Zion has only been this incredibly, like, grounded, mature, reasonable young man when he's had all of this hype around him. We have no reason to believe he's lazy. Number two, he is built like a complete physical freak. We've never really seen anybody play like this where he's built like Charles Barkley, but he dunks like Dominique Wilkins. He's also 19 years old. It's not like he's 5 years into the league and he's fat and overweight and he's lazy. He's a kid. He is just growing into his body. So to blame the Pelicans for something that they're trying to protect when, look, they don't want him to be Greg Oden. And number two, to blame Zion, who's a great kid and has had, unfortunately, in his rookie season, a freaking 100-year pandemic hit. Why do you have to blame either one of them?
I think you're right. And maybe I am being too harsh on Zion. To be honest, my initial point started as I watched last night and was extremely frustrated that the first couple nights of the bubble with Zion, we had Gentry really, really babying him and not playing Zion in the most critical minutes. And then I see what he did last night, and as an NBA fan, how could you not be blown away and entertained and thus frustrated that this is the way the Pelicans treated him the first two games? And my point was, if we're, you know, kind of taking it off now a couple days later, I don't, and then you have put it in, well, this is what they're worried about. He didn't come back in shape. This, and this, that led me down this road. That's all I'm saying. I'm not blaming Zion. I love watching him play, but I have to be honest. I watched him play and became frustrated last night because where was this the last couple nights? And I think it's a whole encompassing situation where I think Gentry dropped the ball early.
Let's dig into this psychologically here. What time did the Rangers play yesterday?
They played at noon. I had a rough day.
Played at noon. The Rangers fell down to the Hurricanes, two games to none in their qualifying round series. That game was over at about 2:30 p.m. Eastern time. What did the rest of your day look like up until you watched the Pelicans?
So I hit the pool. I watched the Winnipeg Jets play the Flames. Then I got into a little Capitals, Lightning, and some of the Thunder game. And then by 6:30, I finally was downstairs, double TV. I said, all right, let me watch Zion play. We'll eventually get to Yankees, Phillies as well. And I was probably a little frustrated.
What did you eat?
All right. Well, now we're revealing something. I ended up falling off a diet yesterday, and I got a big Chipotle bowl. I buried a whole bag of chips. I then proceeded to get a big ice cream sundae. And then for dinner, right as the game tipped off, I had two hamburgers with bacon, and then I had a hot dog with coleslaw, and I had two pieces of corn on the cob, and then I had three Corona Lights. So, yes, I would say that when I watched Zion at 6:30 was at the peak of my I feel terrible about myself, I feel terrible about the way I look, I feel terrible about the way I feel, and now I'm watching this fat slob dunk all over the place, and Gentry's finally taking it off. I would say you know what? You're right. I came out too hot. This is supposed to be a fun morning show. I just laid into Zion after you had a wonderful take. And it really, honestly, the show didn't deserve it. That didn't deserve it. And it dawns on me that, yes, while I was watching the Pelicans game, I completely overdid myself. And I sank 2 weeks of hard work on losing weight because the Rangers can't put a freaking puck in the net on a power play. And they're an absolute disgrace. And I wasted 4 months coming back all excited. The Rangers are going to make a run. And they suck. My life sucks. My belly sucks. And I had about 7,000 calories yesterday. So you know what, Zion? You don't deserve that. Maybe I need a minutes restriction on the DA show. Maybe I, after 7 years, didn't get put in the proper weight protocol on this show. Maybe I didn't hit the weight room. Maybe I didn't spend enough time with DA. And you couldn't trust me off a pandemic. And now I'm blaming this poor guy, the future face of the NBA. So yes, thank you. Psychologically, you hit on a lot of things. Last night was rough. Screw me.
I sit there in my Zubaz pants.
I gotta tell you, normally that wouldn't have been your take coming out of the shoot. It just seemed really like out of left field. Like, you like Zion, you've liked the NBA restart. Right. I'm like, boy, this sounds like a really angry top of the show. You're gonna go after these.
I don't feel good about myself. You're right. I'm cranky and I just feel off. I feel off because I haven't eaten like that in a couple of weeks and I just buried it. Like, Dan, could you imagine when I put that second burger on the grill and had four strips of bacon on the top layer of the grill yesterday? What's going through my mind? I just lost all will to care. And then I wanted to separate myself, and I went downstairs, and I'm watching the games, and then by the time that ends, there's a thunderstorm wreaking havoc over here. I'm starting to worry about losing power. I was so thrown off yesterday. My equilibrium was off because I ate like I was going to the chair.
Okay, well, we're gonna try to use the next 3.5 hours to get Mraz's equilibrium back on, okay?
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
We begin with LeBron James, who last night, with the help of his Lakers teammates, specifically Anthony Davis, secured the top seed of the Western Conference with a win over the Utah Jazz. The first team, the Lakers, are the top seed of the West in 10 years since 2010. Here's LeBron.
It's a huge accomplishment for our franchise. You know, to know where we've been the last few years. You know, to be able to, you know that we're the number one seed in the West. We set out to do that from the beginning of the season, also being one of the best defensive teams, and it's a great accomplishment that we shouldn't overlook.
We'll talk more about the Lakers clinching this number one seed later on in the program with some depth from last night's game with the Jazz, but Anthony Davis was phenomenal last night. Flew around the court, had all types of defensive intensity and offensive execution. And after a very, very quiet game in that blowout loss a couple of nights ago against the Toronto Raptors, AD just flew last night. And when he can lead the Lakers like that, and LeBron doesn't need to be the driver, can just be the passenger, the Lakers are so dangerous. And last night, to me, once again, puts into focus that Anthony Davis right now is the best teammate LeBron has ever played with. Dwayne Wade at his peak, when they won back-to-back championships, was phenomenal. But even Dwayne Wade couldn't do what Anthony Davis can do right now. AD is next-level great when he clicks into the gear like last night and can single-handedly pull a team to a win over a good team like the Jazz, who are right in the middle of the Western Conference playoff seeding, and LeBron doesn't have to do everything. The Lakers are really dangerous and shows you that what the Raptors did to them was really impressive, but maybe it's only a Raptors thing that the Lakers are that much better than everybody else when it comes to execution. You know, they had that tight game against the Clippers, but found a way to win at the end. So two wins out of three tries for the Lakers. Now they're the number one seed in the West. That's how big their cushion is over the Clippers and everybody else. Here is Derek Jeter, who had to speak about the Marlins having the outbreak of coronavirus. There's rumors floating that the Marlins were really irresponsible when they were in Atlanta and that they all went out together and that they ignored protocol and precautions, and that's why they got sick. As of last night, they've had 21 positives on that team, 18 of them being players. Now, think about that. That's two starting lineups. 18 Marlins players have tested positive. Here's Derek Jeter.
We continue to hear and read about rumors about our players' actions in Atlanta, and we need to stop that. Right? Our team and our players deserve better than that. As I mentioned, these guys are sick. Our guys were not running all around town after our game in Atlanta. So I need to ask that stop. They don't deserve that.
Okay, so he says they were not running around town. However, we don't have anybody besides Derek Jeter saying this absolutely did not happen. So you wonder where the rumor mill started. Remember that the normal media that would be surrounding teams, and let's face it, it's really light for the Marlins anyway, but they're not with the team day in, day out. They're not in the clubhouse. They don't have their normal day-to-day conversations or traveling with the team. And so that's where this gets kind of murky. Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe, who has spent decades as a sports writer, brought this up yesterday. He said, because the media doesn't travel with the teams anymore, they're not with the guys day to day, a lot of these stories we would have knowledge of, we would understand what's going on, but today we can't. So Jeter's going to defend his guys, that's fine. But it is crazy that 18 players got it. 18 on one baseball roster. That's, again, two full starting lineups got it. Maybe one guy was irresponsible and gave it to everybody else, but boy, that means they're in really, really close quarters if 19 or 18 guys and 21 total people are getting it for that traveling party. Man. And here's Doug Peterson, head coach of the Eagles, who also tested positive for COVID-19, saying that the team, the organization, is taking precautions and continuing to do so, making sure that nobody else comes into contact with him. Peterson is the second NFL coach who tested positive behind Sean Payton. Here's Peterson.
I'm very comfortable and confident that the protocols that we have in place at NovaCare are for their, you know, for the best interest of the football team and all those that enter that building. It still is a very safe environment. And one of the things that, you know, we all need to learn, and what I need to learn taking away from this is obviously we need to protect ourselves when we're in the community, away from the building, continue to wash our hands, wear our masks, do the social distancing that, medical teams and doctors have prescribed. So, obviously, you know, we're taking this very seriously around our building and in our everyday lives. And again, we need to continue to do so.
We'll see how the NFL reacts to all of this because, of course, the NFL's not in a bubble. They will have their players interacting with their families and in the community and then coming back to the facilities and working out. And we'll see how things unfold. But I will say that I think that the Marlins and the Cardinals outbreaks in baseball might have been the best thing for all sports so that there was a blinking light. Hey, this can happen. I actually think that maybe the sports world needed something like that here in the States to see these are the dangers. This is what can happen. Everybody go on high alert because maybe the players get a little lax. Maybe the organizations get lax. Maybe you just stop thinking about it so much. And I think what you have to realize is if you want to pull off the sport, that everybody has to be on high alert and they've got to be really disciplined all of the time. And that can't come and go in fits and starts and ebbs and flows. It has to be a 24/7 commitment to keeping yourself safe. And if everybody keeps themselves safe, then you're able to play your sports and you're able to make your money and you're able to execute the season. And I think maybe the entire sports world here in the States needed to see this is worst case scenario. And so now we've got your attention.
Inside, it's this date in mothership history.
Let's go back to August the 4th, 2015. 5 years ago, Mraz believed that ovens were powered by coal. Here's the clip. Mraz didn't know when he was going to heat up chicken that you could heat it up with aluminum foil.
I'm not trusting the system. I got an electric oven too, not a coal oven, so I mean, I'm telling you right now, it could be a problem.
You don't have a coal oven?
Yeah.
How? What decade do you think this is? What century do you think this is? The Industrial Revolution?
Coal-fired power will soon be obsolete.
A coal oven?
Well, you just What am I missing?
You think that people, you think people stoke coals around their oven to cook?
That's why you came here, to answer questions so that I could gather information. Do you understand?
No, but you have like a burner or something with like the coals in it. That's where you get your gas from. You get a coal oven. Come on, what did I get wrong? Oh my God.
You think it's kind of like the outdoor grill in your backyard, that there's coals under your oven.
Coal-fired power is not only obsolete, it's very last century. It's dirty.
Yeah, well, not in the oven, but I think it comes through pipes. Yeah. And like that's how you get hot water, too, is a hot water heater.
So you assume that at your home or your apartment that there's a coal delivery and that the coal gets delivered and that helps heat your apartment or your oven.
Well, I know they call it like a gas delivery, but I'm assuming that's like the gas. Like, have you ever been in a sauna at the gym? They have the hot rocks and the kind of.
Our resident fat guy, Sean Marash, he said it was the greatest thing ever.
Obviously, I'm missing something here because you're sarcastically leading me on.
So, it's good to know that you assume that the way we heat ovens in 2015, the 21st century, is that there's a delivery of coal and that the coal emits the gas and that the gas heats the oven. And it's kind of like a sauna.
All right. I mean, clearly I'm wrong and there's no coal involved. But, you know, with centuries, you also just ranted about a dance-off here. I mean, jeez.
Now, I would assume that Mraz, now by virtue of owning a home, you would get that right now, that would make sense to you now. You would not think that a coal, that your oven would be heated by coal.
No, straight gas line. I have gas heat here, gas oven, everything. I know so much more now than I did. I was so young and so naive back then.
Sure, yeah.
I'm so way
autopsy. Back
I think
then.
I always kind of pictured the movie Titanic where they have the guys feeding the coal to get get that going.
Yeah.
And I think I always thought at a gas plant that, like, if you worked there, you were just feeding the coal and it was pumping the gas through the lines. I think that would have been a better way to picture it for the radio audience of what I always kind of pictured how gas was produced. I know I'm wrong now. So, yeah.
You weren't totally wrong if you thought that there were coal-fueled power plants that would give you your energy. That's true. I mean, those
That's
have been
what less. I meant. That's what
no.
I meant.
I don't think so. You thought that in your house there was a coal delivery.
No, you can even hear in there. I'm telling you, I knew that it came through gas, but I thought producing the gas was the coal. Everybody was shoving the coal. We have the coal-powered oven.
Come on,
that's
man.
All. And this is how you know. If I knew there was coal in my actual oven, I would assume it smelled like the MetLife Stadium parking lot before a Giant game, too, because of the charcoal. But I know now. I know a lot of things. I know
you
good
do.
Things. There's electric, there's gas, there's oil. I know all these things. Yep. All these things that come with being a homeowner.
AB?
I don't even know really where to begin, DA, and this is a heavy sentence, and I've been thinking about it the entire time that I was playing. That might be the dumbest thing I've heard you say on this show. That was so nonsensical and came out of nowhere. And another thing that could so easily be disproved by, like, just being alive, was your dad ever covered in black soot from restocking the coal deposits underneath your house? Did he ever throw out a briquette from your oven? I mean, I don't understand how you even got to that conclusion that there was coal in your house. And, like, even if there is coal-powered gas, the gas doesn't come to your house at 1,000 degrees to cook your food. It only becomes fire when the oven, when the ignition happens, and then there's fire. I mean, none of that makes sense. I don't understand how you ever thought that.
Well, number one, we had electric in my house, so of course he wouldn't be covered in soot. Number two, you ever hear of Anthony's coal fire pizza? Why wouldn't I think there's coal?
Yes, and have you seen what that oven looks like? No,
did you
have one of those ovens
flame?
In your house?
Again, it's not Anthony's electric oven pizza, so of course I'm going to look at that and go, there's coal and there's electric.
So you assume that your oven in your kitchen is just like Anthony's giant pizza brick oven where you put things in with a big wooden pallet and there's a huge open flame under it.
Well, small version, and I figure the pallet was more for show. I have oven mitts.
Today's poll question involves something that we delved into in hour number one. I led off the show talking about Zion Williamson last night. he and the Pelicans getting a victory over the Memphis Grizzlies. They needed it desperately. They were 3.5 games behind the Grizzlies for the final playoff spot. Last night with the win, they crept to 2.5 games left to go before the end of the regular season to try to make up. And it seemed like the minutes restrictions was finally off of Zion. Zion started last night, played 25 minutes. He was very good, had more than 20 points, had boards and assists, and really played a very nifty game around the basket. And we led the show talking about how it was good to see Zion off the minutes restrictions. And then Mraz just lit into him. Lit into, well, it's his fault for being out of shape the first two games. Why did that happen? He's too lazy. Then he started ripping the Pelicans for not having Zion in better shape. I said, whoa, 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 big fella. We're leading off a Trash Tuesday show. We all like Zion. The kid's eminently likable. He just is coming off a really good game. The Pelicans did take off the minutes restrictions, and he did perform well, and we're ripping them. And we dug into this, and it ends up that Mraz had a really bad day yesterday, eating-wise. His beloved New York Rangers fell into a 2-0 hole against the Carolina Hurricanes in their opening round playoff series, their qualifying round series, and that led Mraz down a very slippery water slide. He ate everything in sight yesterday. I mean, everything. And I think it really led him to being more angry last night when he watched Zion than this morning when he woke up to talk about Zion, and he admitted as much as well. So today's poll question is, does eating poorly lead you to being more angry about your sports teams? And I guess I could just talk Mraz better now. I now know the language of Mraz better after 7.5 years together. Because I know on certain Mondays when there's just some type of crazy angst in his voice, I'm like, oh, something, you ate a lot yesterday. You ate your feelings yesterday because, you know, this reaction's kind of out of left field, even for you. So last night, would you just mind going down the hit list? Because I think this will enhance the context of the poll question for our listeners.
So the Rangers lose. I go Chipotle bowl.
Okay.
Full bag Chipotle chips.
What kind of burrito bowl is it?
Double chicken, black beans, fajita, brown rice, sour cream, cheese, lettuce, corn salsa, and the green salsa.
And you did double meat in there, too.
Well, you need the protein. Okay. And then I went full bag of chips, which are very unhealthy but very tasty.
What kind of chips were they?
Those are the Chipotle tortilla chips, the salted with that little bit of a lime zest, I think.
Yeah,
they
love
do. I don't know how they do it. It's wonderful.
Yep.
Then I proceeded to do, I think it was 3 scoops of cookie dough ice cream, peanut butter sauce, whipped cream, and Reese's Pieces.
My God. So it was not only 3 scoops of cookie dough, but it was a full-on sundae you made yourself.
Well, I mean, if you're going to commit, you commit, right?
No, I'm not judging. I want this just on the record.
When you have the pen out, as I see you writing down, it feels a little judgy.
That's side cooking where I'm coming from.
So then I decide I'm going to, you know, be a manatee in the pool, and I throw on the outdoor TV, and I get, you know, whatever. I got all the hockey games going on, you know, as Hurricane Jen would say. And then I say, all right, I'm getting a little hungry for dinner. Do we go down the route of, you know, some kind of healthy chicken dish? No. I break out the burgers, and I do 2 burgers with cheese, each
good
with
burgers.
two strips of bacon, one with ketchup, one with mayo. Mm. So bacon cheeseburgers, 2 of them. I also had gone to the store, and I got everything to make my mom's famous coleslaw. So I did a hot dog and buried it with coleslaw on top. And then I had 2 pieces of corn on the cob, buttered up nice with a lot of seasoning. I think that. Oh, and 3 Corona lights, because I'm watching my feet. Can't go with the Corona extras.
And then, did you bury a bag of Oreos as well?
You caught that on Twitter.
I did.
Yeah. So you know the Yankees going to a rain delay. The Pelican game ends, and now I'm trying to watch a little Canadians and Penguins. When what does my wondering eye appear but a bag of Oreos? Oh dear. And I cracked open a sleeve of Oreos, and then my TV went out because we got hit with a thunderstorm. So that's how I ended my night.
Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Now, to be fair, they were the Oreo Thins, so I don't know if that matters.
No, I think that probably saved you about 14 calories there.
Okay. All right. Well, 14's 14.
So this is what I just want as a public service announcement. I'm not going to shame you from eating poorly. I certainly eat poorly from time to time as well.
Oh, there was a handful of chocolate-covered gummy bears as well at some point.
Okay. Chocolate-covered gummy bears. All right. Well, I think we got the hit list here. My point is this. If you're out there in radio land and you are listening, and you wonder why sometimes you might wake up more irritable than other days, or maybe you go to bed more irritable, or everything annoys you, or you're just kind of cranky and angry, or maybe you find yourself in a fit of rage at times. Remember, it could be directly tied to you stress eating or angry eating because something happened specifically in sports. If you find yourself more critical than usual about sports, maybe you're on Twitter fighting with people. Maybe you're in a comment section ripping somebody. Maybe you're on Facebook trashing somebody. Maybe you're just trying to get anger out. It could be directly related to what you just ate. Because I would tell you this, in my 7.5 years of studying the beast known as Mraz, I can tell you, this morning's rip job of Zion Williamson, I believe, is directly tied to this eating habit here. I think if Mraz did not eat this poorly, this morning was a totally different take on Zion Williamson, a more measured take, perhaps even a complimentary take. I know that Mraz actually likes Zion. I know this. And
I do.
He probably, had he had some type of healthy grilled chicken dinner last night with, you know, maybe a cookie or maybe a handful of gummy bears, but nothing crazy. I bet you the take actually would have been how proud he was of a member of Chubbo Nation for performing as well as Zion did last night. Because the way that I opened up the show was, for a big man, he's got great footwork. He's not just a power dunker. Last night you saw how crafty he was from a footwork standpoint, which could be Mraz on the flag football field. I've said this before, having played a season with him on the Long Island Young Guns, is that while Mraz is a big body, he actually is very nifty on his feet. Doesn't mean he doesn't have clumsy moments. He banks himself into chairs and slams his finger in doors and has these moments. But actually, on his feet, he can move around really well for his weight. I bet you would have led with the take of, you see, just because he's big doesn't mean he's not athletic. People need to recognize that this guy's not just a chubbo, he's a real athlete, and I love him for it. But instead, he went the other way. And I just want this as a word of the wise. Last night, Mraz ate a burrito bowl, double chicken, all the trimming, sour cream, cheese, yada, yada, yada. He had the bag of Chipotle chips as well. Now, was that in salsa or guacamole or just the straight chips?
The chips, because I dip them. I use them as the fork when I eat the bowl.
Okay. He also had 3 scoops of cookie dough ice cream along with whipped cream and chocolate sauce. So a cookie dough ice cream sundae. Now, this was just lunch.
Peanut butter sauce, yes.
Peanut butter sauce. This was just lunch. He then doubles down on this endeavor by going for dinner. 2 burgers on the grill with both cheese and bacon on them. He adds to 2 double cheeseburgers with bacon a hot dog mauled in coleslaw. He then has corn of the cob with butter and seasoning, 3 Corona Lights, and finishes it off with a bag of Oreos, and not to be outdone, has a handful of chocolate-covered gummy bears. That is from the time of about 3 o'clock on.
I would say the window there was 3 to 9:30.
Okay, so that's a 6.5-hour window here, guys. And when we wake up at dark 30. So you're not getting a full night's sleep to perhaps process this, or at least just be on like a 7-hour rested window. You're waking up and Mraz is probably getting 4 or 5 hours of sleep.
I got a good 5 spot.
Okay, so if you're wondering perhaps sometimes why you feel yourself being even more angry than normal, it could be directly tied to stress eating around sports or just stress eating in general or just being out to lunch about what you eat for lunch. If you're just smashing your maw full of chocolate and cheese and meats and breads and beers, it's distinctly possible that your takes and your attitude will be far more negative.
It's sugary garbage. The more you know, I think he's right, and I think today has to be a life-changing moment for me. I'm going to lose a lot of weight starting today.
Starting today.
Starting today.
Dixieland Dan tweets, I crushed two double-stack flamethrower bacon burgers, a large fry, a large Coke, a large double Oreo Blizzard, and a six-pack of Coors Light Tall Boys last night. I thought I ingested a lot, but Mraz tops me once again. Hashtag, I'm a fat lard. Hashtag, my ass, my fat ass. Vinny tweets, I'm actually impressed with Mraz with what he ate. I couldn't eat that much in a week, period. It's a lot.
DA, not to steal Stun to a News' thunder, but when Sean first laid out the Chipotle and the Sunday, I thought that was the end of yesterday. I thought that was his angry dinner. But no, that was lunch, late lunch, and then not even a light dinner. Two bacon cheeseburgers, and then another whole dessert, and the three beers. I don't understand how you're even awake right now.
Mraz?
I'm barely heart pumping here.
Over the course of 6 hours, actually had himself three different desserts. He had himself a bag of Oreos. He had himself chocolate gummy bears. And then he also had the cookie dough ice cream sundae. That's an amazing run. Between the hours of 3 and 9, Mraz ate two full monster meals and had three desserts.
Now, it should be noted there were two healthy choices within those desserts. They were Oreo Thins, not the Oreos. Mm-hmm. And it was peanut butter sauce on the sundae, not hot fudge or marshmallow or butterscotch. So I was thinking somewhat trying to be healthy within making a bad decision.
No, I agree.
What?
You were probably at 6,000 calories before that and instead clocked in at 5,995.
I mean, how? Wait, hold on.
This time it counts. But Selig,
you had how many Oreo Thins did you have?
All of them.
I mean, it was a sleeve's worth. I don't know how much that comes to. It could be 20. It could be 25. It could be 18. Yeah. I mean, I certainly wasn't counting.
Right. So again, you think you were healthy because you had Oreo Thins, but when you have 50 of them, it doesn't really matter. That's like having 30 or 25 of the regular ones. So don't sell me on. And peanut butter sauce is not like having water as opposed to chocolate syrup or whipped cream. But stop with this. I had two healthy choices. I thought you were going to go to the corn or the cob. But those
aren't
healthy
choices. Full of my belly. I pigged out. Peanut butter is a protein that is a healthy replica.
Stop.
Divergent. That's all.
The amount of peanut butter sauce on top of your three scoops of cookie dough ice cream completely negate whatever minor health advantage your peanut butter sauce you think it has. There's no way that was a healthy decision.
Should be noted that Pete the Body has now weighed in on Twitter as well, interestingly enough.
First time he's weighed in for us ever.
He put on a GIF. He placed a GIF on his Twitter feed that has three racks of ribs, a steak. It looks like 15 different pieces of wings or potatoes, and it says getting the grill ready for a random snack for Mraz. So Mraz, there's a fat blast from Pete the Body today.
I hate that, and I just made the weighed in joke. Pete is bigger than me, and we are not allowed to poke fun at his weight, but he wants to throw haymakers at me about my weight. You and Bogus as skinny men want to throw haymakers, that's fine. Pete is the round mound of rebound himself and then wants to poke fat jokes, but you can't poke one back. I'm so tired of that with him.
What?
It's so nonsensical.
What? But he doesn't weigh more than you.
DA, we wouldn't know because he's not afraid to boast. He's too afraid to get on that scale. I'll get on the scale right now. I bet you he weighs more than me. I bet you he does.
What?
And that's fine, by the way. I'm not trying to be critical of him, but do not throw stones. I was once told this. It's a good saying to live by. Do not throw stones. You ever hear this one? If you live in a glass house. And that's
that
a glass
somewhere.
House.
What?
Well, how much are you clocking in at?
I mean, before yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, the last time you stepped on the scale. Because, of course, last night we should add 7 pounds.
256.
So you think Pete weighs more than 256?
Yes. I bet you Pete is 270s.
You think Pete's 270? You think Pete's 15 pounds heavier than you?
The Met windbreaker definitely hides a lot. I sit next to him, guys, every day. And I don't think he has a weight problem. I just think he's very close to on par with me and I think has passed me. But the problem is you're allowed to poke fun at me because I accept that's the way you should live. But there's something there, Pete, where we can't poke fun at his weight because he becomes Mr. Sensitive. And that's fine if that's the way he wants to live. But then all hands got to be off. I don't need him at 7:30 tweeting a gif like, oh, look at the snack Mraz had. Like he's sitting there eating granola all day. I mean, my
goodness. I just don't like him.
You think the guy's not pounded pizza or fried chicken on his day off? Are you crazy?
AB, do you think that Pete the Body actually is the heaviest member of the DA show?
I don't. If he is DA, I don't know that it's drastically different. I don't think that we're splitting hairs here. It's not like there's like a 30 or 40 pound difference in here. It might only be a handful of pounds, which, again, is not a contest that either one of them should want to win here.
Well, I'm going to frame this a completely different way. Mraz is known as the fat guy on this show. He is known as the fat guy. Could we have a fatter guy on the show? That would blow people's brains if Mraz is not the, quote, fat guy. I mean, that would blow my brain. I didn't ever think we'd have anybody on the show that weighed more than Mraz, except he who shall not be named, but he was not a full-time member of the DA show. This would be mind-blowing if we actually had somebody on staff full-time that was weighing more than the, quote-unquote, fat guy on the show.
Because I embrace the fat guy role. He's hid from the fat guy role. That's the problem. When in essence, it's there. It's there. He's not hiding it.
I know.
I've made the pudding joke.
But to that point, Bogish, all of the humor has centered around Mraz being the fat guy because Pete has also added on making Mraz the fat guy. Pete has spent years poking fun at Mraz for being the fat guy. If he's fatter than Mraz, what do we have? We now live in some type of nexus of the universe where nothing would be real anymore if we poked fun at the wrong guy for being the fat guy.
What?
But as Sean said, part of Sean's being the fat guy is owning that role and very happily telling us about what he ate yesterday, and then I'm sure giddily later describing his bowel movement in a group text.
Okay, that's being a disgusting guy. I mean, look.
Yeah, but still, it's all wrapped into one.
If Badlands Booker was running our board and was poking fun at Mraz for being the fat guy, it wouldn't work.
Well, that might be funny in a different way, but that's also not what Pete is either. Now, and there is definitely some contradiction and maybe some hypocrisy with Bilotti's eagerness to point out Sean's shaky health choices, because Pete's also guilty of eating healthy snacks by the pound. So there's all of these things are on the table.
There's no way that Pete weighs more than Mraz. There's absolutely no way. I've seen Mraz without a shirt on. There's no way. I don't care what's under that New York Mets windbreaker. There's no way Bilotti weighs more than Mraz. I guarantee you that. I don't think Bilotti is past 230. I just don't. I don't think.
Then I am issuing an open challenge to Bilotti. I will, on this show, gladly, camera on, step on a scale, and he has to do the same. If he does not, and he chooses not to, you know that he thinks he's heavier than me. Because if he felt that confident, he would do that. I'm issuing that challenge.
He might just not want his weight made public. I mean, he could be 230.
What does he care? Dixieland Dan going to know his weight, and suddenly that's a problem? I mean, who cares? Honestly.
He's looking
for
Robin, a
management role. Or Robin, a 321's going to find out the guy weighs 240? Who cares?
He's looking for a management role.
No kid. You see, he's got a schedule maker in his Twitter bio. He's already made it. You know, that weight ain't going to make a difference. That can stay in his bio.
I don't think there's any way. I don't think there's any way that he weighs more than you. No chance. Especially after last night's binging that you just did. There's no way.
What do you think? He's sitting home having arugula all day? What, are you nuts?
What?
Andrew Bogish has our headline this morning, AB. What do you got?
DA,
what do we got?
These ones are sponsored by Geico, who has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. It took a few months longer than expected, but the Lakers are finally, officially, number one in the West.
Here's Anthony Davis dribbling inside half court. Davis step back three-pointer, foul in a bucket. And Anthony Davis is going to have a chance at 40
Davis
points.
Davis got 42. The Lakers got the top seed in the West with a 116-108 victory over the Jazz. That was John Ireland on Lakers radio. LeBron had 22, 8 rebounds, and 9 assists in the victory. Zion with 23 points in 25 minutes on the floor late as the Pelicans closed out the Grizzlies 109-99. Memphis now 0-3 at Disney. Their lead on Portland and San Antonio for 8th is just 2 games. Milwaukee's Mike Budenholzer and OKC's Billy Donovan sharing the Coach of the Year award from their fellow coaches. Many thought Toronto's Nick Nurse was the favorite. He finished one vote shy of a three-way tie. The St. Louis Cardinals now dealing with 13 COVID-19 positives, 7 players, 6 staffers. They remain quarantining in Milwaukee. They will not play this week in Detroit. The Phillies, meanwhile, played last night for the first time since July 26th, then lost at Yankee Stadium 6-3. They will not play there tonight because of the tropical storm. Instead, a doubleheader in Philly tomorrow with the Yanks, the home team for the opener. The Twins beat the Pirates 5-4 for a 4-game win streak. The White Sox won in Milwaukee 6-4. Cincy topped Cleveland 3-2, and the Braves lost to the Mets 7-2, and they lost their ace, Mike Soroka, to a torn Achilles. He got hurt leaving the mound to cover first in the third inning. NFL players now have until Thursday to opt out of the coming season because of coronavirus. The league has reported wish to move up that deadline as it reached a final agreement with the union last night. Players were supposed to have a full week once that was all done. Big 12 football going with 9 league games and 1 non-conference. The league's announcement did not include a schedule or even a start date. That's expected to be in mid to late September. Meanwhile, Oklahoma and Texas want to play, planning to play at the Cotton Bowl as usual, if possible. That according to The Athletic. On ice, the Oilers got even with the Blackhawks 6-3, a hat trick for Connor McDavid, and the Penguins beat the Canadiens 3-1, leveling that series at 1 as well. And now, boys, we
Woo-hoo!
Are stunned.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
So we have all developed some tricks and some habits during pandemic to stay as safe and as clean as possible. I, for one, have handled money as little as possible. I can play through an app or with my card. That's the way I'm doing it. I don't have to touch anything that anybody else has touched. Now, I never thought to go as far as this unnamed person in South Korea recently went. He or she decided to wash his or her money in case it had any of the virus on it. And in a shocking twist of events, not all of the paper bills survived the washing process. Some tore and or got burned. But in another shocking turn of events, the Bank of Korea actually exchanged some of the damaged bills for new ones. You're allowed to ask for a trade-in by law, and many of the bills were accepted, and this person was given new ones. Now, too many of them were badly damaged, so those were not replaced. In the end, the person got back roughly the equivalent of $19,000. But bank officials say he or she lost way more than that by washing the bill. So the loss is significant, but lessened to a certain extent by the fact that they were able, even though it was their fault, to turn in their beat-up dollar bills and get about $19,000 back.
Think about putting $19,000 in your washing machine. But that's what I think they did. Was it the dishwasher or the washing machine? Because there had to
I'm
be
thinking
a hot
washing machine and dryer because things are burnt. So I'm assuming they got hot in the dryer, the coal powered dryers they have in Korea.
So could you imagine washing them in a washing machine and then putting them in a dryer and putting a minimum of $19,000? Like you said, this person lost more than that they got back. So this is like minimum $25,000-$30,000 or more that they put in the washing machine or the dryer. It's one thing to clean like $100. It's another thing to be like, you know what? I'm going to clean $20,000. Just bring that 20 grand to the bank and get crisp new bills that you feel have already been sterilized. This is incredible. And you should see the condition of some of these. They are just like charred. They look like they've been coal-fired pizza at Anthony's. It's incredible. It's incredible. Could you imagine this being your thought process?
Who has that much money lying around in cash, though, DA? I don't understand. What is this person doing, running the Korean mob? I don't understand why they would have that much money laying around. They think that Jason Bateman and Ozark? Who has that much cash on them to even run through the washing machine?
I don't know how you just somehow come across 20 grand unless you're worried about the banks during coronavirus and you want to get all your cash out or something like that. I have no idea. Or you definitely run a cash business. I mean, there are certainly cash businesses out there. Maybe you run a restaurant and it's all cash. I mean, there's some cash only restaurants, but it's amazing for the thought to be, I'm going to sterilize this by putting it in the washing machine.
I mean, you know, just use more hand sanitizer. I don't know. There's got to be a better way than not realizing you're going to crisp it to a char by putting it in the dryer.
When I was a kid, I once urinated on my sneakers, and to dry them off, my dad put them in the microwave, and they exploded, and I had no shoes before a family event.
Wow, Bob the Deli Man, after shoveling a bunch of coal into your oven, actually put your sneakers in the microwave?
Yeah, I was about 3 years old. They tell the story often, and apparently I whooped it out, and I went number one all over my sneakers. Uh-huh. Why? I was probably acting like a bad kid, and my father, in a panic, not wanting to tell my mother, said these need to dry quick. Because we're on the way out the door and, you know, put the microwave on like it was making a hot pocket, and my shoes exploded in the microwave. So very similar to this person losing their money, I lost my sneakers, and they had to stop at Payless on the way to whatever party to make sure I had shoes.
That's amazing. The South Korean bank would also like to let you know that you should not be microwaving money either. Avoid putting banknotes in the microwave, saying that disinfection there, the effect is unclear. Antivirus guidelines in South Korea don't include sterilizing money in a washing machine or a microwave.
How about that?
For those that needed education on that.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
All right, Mraz, lead us off. Who or what are you trashing?
So the last 2 weekends, and I guess weeks now, have been a lot of couch potato time for old Mraz. A lot of watching sports.
Seems like it.
Baseball, basketball, hockey. I can't get enough. And one thing I have to trash is that I don't know who was in the marketing meetings for all of these companies as several parts of this country start to reopen. But it seems as if everybody who bought commercial time on all these sporting events has had a commercial featuring the Welcome Back Cotard theme song. You know, it's every time I hear the song, I turn on, I'm like, oh, this commercial again? I'm like, wait a minute, this is a different company. So much so that I don't know if any are sponsors, so I'm not going to name the companies. I made a point this weekend of jotting this down because I thought it was just the first weekend of baseball. I counted 7 different companies advertising on sporting events using the Welcome Back 7DA. Using the welcome back with the whole like idea of either sports are back or the economy's back or, you know, we're doing this now, we're finally back and ready for your business as we've endeared this whole thing. It was as if everybody had this light bulb go off. You know what would be good? The theme song from Welcome Back Cotter, not knowing every company was going to use the same song and same theme. Start paying attention to that when you watch sports. You will hear that Welcome Back theme a million times. I kept a running tally. 7 different companies are currently using it as a commercial theme.
That's advanced analytics. Trash them.
Warm, sizzling garbage.
I'm surprised. I got to say, I just flip back and forth during commercials to other games now that we have games on every channel, so I never sit around for the commercials. But that's surprising. You must watch a lot of commercials.
Yeah, again, the laziness comes in. The laziness definitely comes in.
Laziness is a factor. Andrew Bogish, who or what are you trashing?
DA, thanks for having me, as always. I'm not good with change, so I guess this is partially a trash on me, but it's a very delicate trash of our wonderful company. Now, this is, what, year 7 of CBS Sports Radio? Up until the last 2 weeks, I have never actually had to submit a timesheet. I just get paid what I get paid every 2 weeks. It almost never changes. If it does change, I put a little piece of paperwork in. It gets handled. Easy peasy. But all of a sudden, now we have a new system which involves me for the first time ever manually adding my hours per day. If I do anything differently, I need to put a little note there to get a little bump or whatever, and account for an extra hour. And this new process has also put me further in the crosshairs of schedule maker extraordinaire Pete Bilotti, who is now also in charge of this payroll system.
Ooh.
So for about 1,000 different reasons, I am very nervous that on this Friday, my paycheck will either be zero or a total that it should not be because I made a mistake, Bilotti made a mistake, the system made a mistake, I didn't have to do a timesheet in the first place, so get it all out, it's all trashed.
Trash.
Luke, it's the trash compactor.
This was difficult to navigate the other day. I actually spent much of my Sunday night watching HR videos to try to figure out how to do this correctly. Because I would like you, I'm like, oh, this is complicated. This is unlike anything we've done before. I don't want to screw this up. I don't want to have $0 from this paycheck. This could be bad. And I don't know about you, but I have not gotten verification from anybody that I did it right. So I don't know. No. I'm flying blind right now.
I didn't even know that we had to start filling out timesheets on this thing. So I'm kind of hoping I'm going to get paid. I thought we didn't have to do that.
You're toast.
Yep. No yeah, money for peanut butter sauce.
You'll never pay for your mortgage this month.
No. But no, we don't have to do that. That's not for us.
Well,
no,
why did Bogus and I do it?
I was told by management that's not for us. That was not for us. If you didn't have to submit a time, now you're freaking out. We're going to have to take this behind the scenes.
Come on, man.
Don't cry. Don't eat out of anger or sadness or worry. You did enough of that yesterday. Have a banana.
You should see the color of Mraz's face right now. Right now, he is so scared that Danielle is going to come downstairs with a hedge trimmer and just take it right to his carotid artery.
No, it does. Okay, you're right. I am. Because I was told. I was told, just continue doing what you're doing.
Which is what? Nothing?
Yes. Your salary will keep getting paid to you.
Now, my concern is that you are actually right, Sean, that me and DA and other people did this for no reason, because we've always been, like, as the on-air people, because we're in a union set from everybody else, right. We've always been on the outside, and all of these things just kind of magically were done for us. So my assumption the whole time was we don't have to do this because we've never had to do it before, but then I was told by people, Adi and someone else, that we had to do it, so I did it with their help, and it was a cluster, you know what. So I may have done all of that for no reason, or you may be getting a $0 check come Friday morning. I don't know.
I feel better knowing that Pete told you to do it. That means I'm right. You're wrong.
All I know is this. I was immediately freaked out by the number and intensity of the emails about this HR system change.
Yeah.
I mean, we must have gotten 7 different emails,
right,
not only alerting us that payroll will change, but what date it will change. You need to watch these videos. You must do this. It is urgent that you do this. People are confused. HR is confused. I was like, wow, this feels like the most dire thing the company has ever dealt with. Is this just computer change? And I don't know, no offense to Entercom, but I don't know if it's great timing to go undergo HR, you know, payroll change in the middle of a pandemic when there's a lot of other things going on too. It just felt like this was really dire and really urgent. So for the first time in like forever, I'm like watching, studying every HR video. Okay, what do we do here? What do we do there? What do we do? So I don't know. I overprepared for this. I hope that I got it right. I know that Mraz underprepared for it.
I still feel kind of confident, but we'll go over this in the break.
Connor Green, who are you trashing?
Well, DA, I'm trashing the concession prices at Yankee games this year. These virtual fans work their fingers to the bone in the data mines 12 hours a day, and all they want to do is enjoy a hot dog at the ball game with their virtual family, but it's just too expensive. Bitcoins do not grow on trees. And imagine being not even a real person, and on top of that, you can't even get a ballpark franc. And I know some really great virtual people, and they've been complaining about virtually everything at these games. They're pricing out the average virtual fan, and it's not fair. They're not thinking about poor virtual blue-collar Bob. Get them out.
Oh, my God. Trash them.
Charlie Sheen just dumped that on the set of Men at Work.
Wow. It took us 7.5 years of Trash Tuesday, but that's the smartest trash we've ever had, actually. That was so well written.
Yeah, he's going to make us have to retire this segment because there's no doing better than Connor. Like, he's going to max it out, and we just have to move on to something different.
Wow, that was like a Letterman top 10 written type of bit. That was brilliant.
I'm just trying to stand up for the virtual people. You know, nobody out there stands up for the virtual people.
I might have to pay Connor to fill out my timesheet.
All day working in the data mines? That's brilliant. Bitcoins don't grow on trees?
That is so good. I feel bad for Kevin Wall. K Wall is in for the associate producer role today. Now he's got to follow that.
That's going to be tough.
Who are you trashing?
Well, I'm going to be trashing the Verizon tech that I had to deal with over the weekend. So my phone has hit the fan on Saturday for 2 days. I couldn't text anybody. My emails weren't going through. My apps kept on glitching. So I go to the Verizon store at the Freehold Mall in New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you wait online. It's one-on-one. She's helping me. And then next thing you know, we have to go in customer service. And I thought for a phone, it takes 5 minutes. Here's your phone. Upgrade. Bing, bang, boom. No. Guess not anymore. So we're in customer service trying to figure out what's wrong. Uh-huh. Yada, yada, yada. I get no answer. So I'm like, I just want the damn phone. She's like, okay, we'll get the phone. And then next thing you know, she's like, oh, you're going to kill me. I don't have your phone. You're going to have to go to the Apple store. And then so I go to the Apple store. There's no phone. So I go back to the Verizon store, and she goes, well, come back tomorrow. Tomorrow's Sunday. So I go back. It's closed on Sunday.
Oh.
It's closed. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So I go back yesterday. Still no phone.
Oh.
So hopefully today, but Sally, the tech lady, I understand it was your first day back at work. She told me that she was getting back into the routine. But come on, at least know your hours for the store. So, Sally, the tech, I'm trashing you. I'm going back to AT&T.
Trasher.
Is Oscar the Grouch living in there?
Wow, that's brutal. Come back tomorrow. You come back and the door's locked. We're closed on Sundays. That is a brutal turn of events for Kevin. I am trashing baseball's lack of professionalism in their tarping of the open seats. I don't know about you, but I'm looking at the digital signage for NBA games, and I'm like, this looks good. And they've got the digital fans, which, okay, it's a little wonky, a little weird, but still, there's movement, there's action, and it's actually a reaction to what is happening on the floor. I watch hockey. All of the tarping over the seats is crisp. It feels like it's boxed off, allowing signage for the NHL or for, is it Mercedes-Benz? There's like other big logos on there. It looks good. It looks like a professional sporting event from a multi-billion dollar corporation. It just looks professional. And then I flip over to the Yankee game last night, and the Yankees are the ones that are usually like, you know, stiff upper lip, more professional, more maybe a little staid or boring than other franchises, so they don't have cardboard cutouts, thank God. But the tarps over the seats are all draggy and droopy. I mean, it looks like I pulled the pool cover over my dad's pool, and we just left it for the winter. It's like nobody pulled it taut. Nobody tied it down. It's just like, you know, the grounds crew just kind of let it lay there. And I'm like, why does this look so bad? And that's the Yankee game. You know, you turn on a Mets game and it looks like a bunch of Sesame Street dolls got like soaked in water in a rainstorm and just like left out at a yard sale. The cardboard cutouts, they're not even filling up every seat. So it's like a real Mets game. It's not a sellout. I mean, if you're going to have fake fans, at least fill out all the seats so it looks like a sellout. They're out of focus. They're misshapen. It looks bad. There's no signage on the tarps. Like, at least if you look at a Wrigley Field game, it looks like they've done signage on the tarps in the outfield. So that's at least good. But if Yankee Stadium can't get this right, what hope does anybody else have? It looks so unprofessional. Trash them.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. Right behind home plate, half of it's coming up on one seat. The water's hitting from a rain delay. It just looks awful. And on the cardboard cutout point, too, can we cut the white around the people?
Right.
I mean, I think one of the coolest parts about the NBA virtual fans is that you're seeing gray seats behind them virtually, and it looks like they're in seats. These cardboard cutouts, it's just them with, like, uneven whiteness behind all of them sitting in the seat. Cut all the way around, make it look like a person sitting in a seat, not a person with white behind him and then in a seat. It makes no sense.
It's amazing. It is like, you know, Melissa from, you know, local town high school went to Party City and they wanted for a graduation day to have a cardboard cutout of like One Direction. And they got her, you know, they got her this and they put it at the graduation. And it's like to take pictures with. I mean, this is the best thing we can do with cardboard cutouts is go to Party City and just have like uneven cuts around heads.
Nobody has had any attention to detail. It is like I am running the entire operation of the cardboard cutouts, and it really, really? Is infuriating. And also, one more thing. If you're going to submit, we got it with the dogs. We understand you have a dog, and you're going to think it's cool to put the dog cardboard cutout. The first couple dogs we saw early in the major, hysterical. Every night, there's 50 more dogs in these stadiums. We get it. You got dogs, and I'm a dog guy. But how many dog cardboard cutouts do I need with white behind them? There's the Labradoodle sit behind first base. There's the Wiener Schnitzel down the third baseline. Behind the dish, all of a sudden, you got another Pomeranian. We understand, folks. You have a dog. You wanted to pay for a cardboard cutout. You want to tell your friends, look, Smoochie's behind a plate tonight. But we've been there, done that. You're not original. It's not funny. It's 2 weeks. I'm sick of it. Enough with the dog.
The Wiener Schnitzels down third base. It's so unprofessional.
Goodness.
Baseball needs to get its head out of its you-know-what, because the NBA and the NHL are running circles around the presentation.
No one knows what analytics is. They think it's like a bunch of nerds doing math, which I don't know, maybe that's what it is.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
So we found out last night that because Mraz had to endure the Rangers getting punked by the Carolina Hurricanes, he ate and overate really bad food, leading him to be far more angry this morning at Zion Williamson and other things. So we asked you today, does eating poorly lead you to be more angry at sports? On Twitter, 57% of people said no. On Facebook, 56% said no. A new study at the University of Bath found that binge eating on occasion doesn't have major metabolic consequences. Some men ate up to 2.5 pizzas in one sitting. That's about 5,000 calories, and their metabolism didn't change much. Their blood sugar levels were similar to having eaten a normal meal.
Oh.
So, I guess, Mraz, you know, you're all right.
I'm all right. See, you know what? One good balancing day, and I'm right back at it. That's all. That's all. Ice cream sundae a week keeps the doctor away.
Delusion. Delusion for everybody. I love the 57% saying, no, I can eat like total crap all day long, and I feel great. Oh, yeah, I hate my sports team. They led me to overeating. And no, there's no ill effects of that. Let's get to your epic fail. Here was Mraz's meltdown earlier this morning.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
I'm frustrated last night because where was this the last couple nights? And I think it's a whole-encompassing situation where I think Gentry dropped the ball early.
Let's dig into this psychologically here. What time did the Rangers play yesterday?
They played at noon. I had a rough day. It was probably
what
a little frustrating.
What did you eat?
Chorizo! All right, well, now we're revealing something. I ended up falling off a diet yesterday, and I got a big Chipotle bowl. I buried a whole bag of chips. I then proceeded to get a big ice cream sundae. And then for dinner, right as the game tipped off, I had two hamburgers with bacon, and then I had a hot dog with coleslaw, and I had two pieces of corn on the cob, and then I had three Corona Lights. So, yes, I would say that when I watched Zion at 6:30 was at the peak of my I feel terrible about myself. I feel terrible about the way I look. I feel terrible about the way I feel. And now I'm watching this fat slob dunk all over the place, and Gentry's finally taking it off. I would say you...
Nom, 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 nom.
You know what? You're right. I came out too hot. This is supposed to be a fun morning show. I just laid into Zion after you had a wonderful take. And it really, honestly, the show didn't deserve it. That didn't deserve it. And it dawns on me that, yes, while I was watching the Pelicans game, I completely overdid myself. And I sank 2 weeks of hard work on losing weight because the Rangers can't put a freaking puck in the net on a power play. DA, I got to run real 1 second. I got an oopsie. And they're an absolute disgrace. And I wasted 4 months coming back all excited. The Rangers are going to make a run. And they suck. And they suck. My life sucks. My belly sucks. And I had about 7,000 calories yesterday.
What a disgusting human being.
Hey, so you know what, Zion? You don't deserve that. Maybe I need a minutes restriction on the DA show. Maybe I, after 7 years, didn't get put in the proper weight protocol on this show. So yes, thank you. Psychologically, you hit on a lot of things. Last night was rough. Screw me.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
My life sucks. My belly sucks is a great instant classic quote. Hopefully we can save that as a drop. My life sucks. My belly sucks. Rob tweets in, DA, I'm trashing my wife for giving me hell for buying a $28 hat from Lids, but allows my daughter to get a $15 fake tattoo. And I'm the crazy one. Hashtag get her out.
Splash Brothers, more like the Trash Brothers.
Thanks, everybody, that sent in their trashes this morning here on the DA Show. Good stuff. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Connor Green on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Kevin Wall, associate producer. Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. And Andrew Bogish on your headlines. We'll see you tomorrow. We'll be reviewing Angels in the Outfield. The Mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.